morning, he is risen. And this is the part where you say, he is risen indeed. And then I say again, he is risen. And you say, he's risen indeed. And I say for a third time, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Good morning and welcome to Union Congregational Church from my living room. My name is Pastor Tori, and I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning on this Easter Sunday, celebrating the risen Christ. And we want to enter into a time of worship this morning, a time where we have come out of a lot of darkness of going through this Holy Week. And if you were with me this morning, we went to Walker Bay up in Walker, Minnesota, and sat out at Leech Lake out by the lighthouse there, and we watched the sunrise. Now, it was really cloudy out and didn't see much of a sunrise, but it was still pretty beautiful. And we read the resurrection story. And then I went to the church and also broadcast live and went to the church and rang the bell. Are not happy with us. Well, happy with me. But we rang the bell this morning in celebration of this Easter morning. So again, welcome to everyone who is tapping in with us live this morning. And like always, this Easter is different, but it is still Easter. One of the things that I have missed in our time from going from the church to being in my home is I have missed having the Christ candle lit. And so today, and hopefully every other week from now on, we will have a Christ candle, a symbol of Christ being present with us as we worship. And with that said, I'd like to welcome you into a time of worship where we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship today. Let us enter in and join me in a call to worship in this prayer. God of all ages and of all people, the shadows of Good Friday have been dispersed by the light of Easter Sunday. We rejoice in your power that turns sorrow into joy, despair into hope, and our defeat into victory. Let new life of divine grace light our time together. We welcome you today, O Christ. Be in the midst of us, even when we are far apart. Amen. Amen. One of the members of our congregation, let the victor's people sing. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what are you waiting for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him, and she told them that he had said these things to her. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Darkness has always been one of my fears. I've always been afraid of the dark. I know many of you know that I've been afraid of water because I cannot swim, but I'm also kind of afraid of the dark. Even as a little kid, I hated it, being in the darkness. The farmhouse that I grew up on had two different levels. There was an upstairs and a downstairs. And my bedroom was on the upstairs level. And I was fine being up there during the daytime. But when it turned night, when it got dark out, I would be scared of going up there. I hated going up there. And I did not like sleeping up there by myself. And oftentimes I would wait for my brother or my sister to get home at night. And I wouldn't go upstairs until they went upstairs. And then I would go. And I would always have to sleep with the hall light on. What it would do is that it would illuminate my room so that my room wasn't dark. If it was too dark in my room, that pile of clothes that was laying in the corner all of a sudden would move and it would become this monster in the dark. Or if it was too dark in my room, I swear I could hear the closet door creak open. I did not like the darkness. To this day, I still sleep with the nightlight on. Darkness has a way of instilling fear into us, doesn't it? We can't see, and so it threatens us in a way. It makes us feel weak. It makes us unable to defend ourselves. It makes us feel vulnerable. I have found through life that darkness is not only physical. Darkness can be mental and emotional and even spiritual. There's all types of darkness in this world. Some people with mental illness can battle a type of darkness every day of their lives. And people with emotional imbalances struggle through their darkness. And people also go through spiritual darkness. The feelings of fear, vulnerability, weakness, sometimes leads to hopelessness. Darkness can be powerful if we allow it to control our lives. But light is different. When the tiniest speck of light is introduced to darkness, it's as though it pierces everything around it. Where it lights it up, it illuminates it. It is so noticeable. And it gives the ability to see a little bit more of what couldn't be seen before. Over the past few weeks, we have been reading a lot of stories from the Gospel according to John. And the author of this gospel has interwoven themes into his writings, into his gospel story. And one of these themes is the dualism of darkness and light. And this author has included not only images of darkness and light, by even saying day and night, but also includes images of lamps and fires and torches and lanterns. Now, at the beginning of our story today, we read that first verse, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. I think that word dark holds a lot of meaning in this story. It sets the tone. It sets the mood. An overall feeling of the gravity of that moment. If you think of it, just 3 days before, Mary's teacher, mentor, friend named Jesus was arrested in a garden late at night. He was beaten, he was tortured, and then he was nailed up to a cross and crucified, and he was left there to die. A dark Thursday night became darker on that Friday. At noon, it says, darkness came across the sky for 3 hours until Jesus breathed his last. He was quickly taken down from the cross after he died. Joseph of Arimathea bought linen and wrapped Jesus in it and put him in a tomb. He needed to hurry because the Sabbath was the next day and no one could work. And you don't bury a body on the Sabbath. No one had time to prepare Jesus' body for burial. No time to anoint him with oils or spices. And now it's early Sunday morning, and it's still dark. And Mary is heading to the tomb. And she may had oils and spices with her, maybe. And maybe she was carefully stepping through the darkness, making sure she didn't stumble or fall, making sure that she stayed on that path to the tomb. And maybe she squinted a little bit, so maybe she could see a little bit better in the dark and just trying her best to see. And then she comes to the tomb. And she sees in the twilight of the sunrise, the stone was removed from the tomb. She immediately runs to Peter and the other disciple, who many believe was the other apostle, John, and tells them that somebody moved Jesus' body. The two disciples run to the tomb and find it to be empty. They saw the linen folded and rolled neatly. Now, they didn't understand everything that was happening. They just knew Jesus' body was gone. They didn't get it yet, but they soon would. They left the tomb and returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. There she was met by two angels asking her why she was crying. And she replied, and it repeated her anguish that she said to the disciples earlier, and she said it again, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him." Scripture says that Mary turned around to see Jesus standing there. Why would she? He was supposed to be dead. So she mistook him for the gardener. And when he asked her why she was crying, and even asked a second question, who was she looking for? And it makes me wonder, when Jesus was in that garden, Mary didn't recognize him, and he's asking her these questions. What was he doing? I mean, was he just standing there, or was he bent down in the dirt, getting his hands dirty in the dirt, the earth which he created? Was he touching a flower or caring for his creation in some way, shape, or form that she thought and speculated that he was the gardener? But then he said her name. He said her name. Can you imagine the light that would burst and pierce through her darkness and into her heart at that precise moment? At that moment in time, having light break through the darkness that you had been living in for days. Darkness enveloped everything for days in Mary's life. The talks that Jesus had about going into Jerusalem to die, being arrested in the garden, the questioning before Pilate, the beating, the mocking by the soldiers, and the killing, that grief, watching Jesus suffer and die in the most humiliating way. And then quickly having your friend Joseph take his body down off the cross and bury him in a borrowed tomb. It was dark. Then that darkness was ripped open by this slash of light with one word. Her name. And Mary turns and she sees the risen Christ. And she exclaims, Rabboni, teacher. Such an intimate response. A response that only can be spoken by somebody who is a close disciple of Jesus. I've wondered about Mary Magdalene. Who was she? Where did she come from? And why was this woman chosen to be the first to witness Jesus' resurrection? Now, the Bible tells us a little bit about her. Some tradition says that she used to be a prostitute, but that's not true. There is no scriptural evidence for that. Scripture does tell us that she was part of a group of women who helped support Jesus' ministry. She was one of Jesus' closest followers. We also know that she was at the cross when Jesus died. And the Gospels of Matthew and Mark said that she was also at Jesus' burial. There was also something that the Gospel of Luke said about her. It said that Mary had 7 demons exorcised out of her. Now, there are various beliefs about what demons were in the New Testament. Some thought demons were real demons from hell that tormented and possessed people. And others think that maybe Mary had some type of illness, whether it be physical or mental or emotional. All of that is debatable. But whatever Mary's case was, Mary knew darkness. She lived it. She saw it until she met Jesus. And maybe that's why Mary wasn't afraid to be at the site of the cross while Jesus hung on it. She knew darkness. It was familiar to her. And maybe that's why she went to the burial, because she knew darkness. And maybe that is why she is going to the tomb early in the morning. She lived through it once, and now she's living through it again. This darkness. But she never expected the light to burst onto the scene. The light of the risen Christ Jesus. standing right there in front of her, alive, and saying her name. And she is the one that gets to tell the other disciples of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is in 2 Corinthians 4. Starting in verse 6, there is a guy named Paul who is writing to a church in a town called Corinth. And he says this to them: "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made God's light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." This light of Christ lives in our hearts, in our lives, inside of us. God's Holy Spirit through Christ lives and shines in us and through us. And it goes on to say, "But we have this treasure, this light, in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Jars of clay. Clay jars are fragile and imperfect, and oftentimes cracked and chipped. I got this clay pot from my friend Mary. And I went out there yesterday and I said, "Give me the most banged up pot you got." And this was one of them that I chose. It's cracked, it's chipped, still has some dirt in it. It's imperfect. It's fragile. But God chose clay pot vessels to put the light of Christ inside of it. These vessels, imperfect, messed up, fragile, clay jars, are human beings. The jars of clay, it's us. God chooses to shine through us, to work in us and through us. Now, if I put a cover on this, and it was still ventilated, so the flame could still shine, and if there was cracks in here, and it was banged up a little bit more, if I put the cover on, light would still shine, and you could most notice it through the cracks. Oftentimes, it is through our imperfections, through our chips, and through our cracks that the light shines the brightest. Through our mistakes, through our mess-ups, and what we think are the darkest parts of our life. Chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "In Christ was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The darkness has not overcome it. So this season, this Easter season, my friends, shine. Shine in the darkest places and light up the world with the light of Christ. Shine in the darkness of this separated family and friends. Shine in the darkness of the despair of this disease. Shine in the corners of every hospital, every grocery store, every farm, and every home. Shine the light of Christ. Christ's peace, Christ's grace, healing, joy, love, and hope. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. We're going to try another Easter song. And it is not in the hymn book of the UCC, but I think it is in the supplemental hymn book. And it's a pretty traditional hymn called He Lives. And I have the chorus up here for you. And I'm going to try to do the verses. But the version of this song that I know is the one that I remember growing up in Elto, Wisconsin, at the church there. And I think it was the men's chorus, or maybe it was just the congregation who sang it this way. But they slow down the last line. And it brings back a lot of memories for me. Might be a little bit weird for you, but we're gonna try this song. I serve a risen. I have to get the right key though. I serve, I know that He is living. I got it now. I serve a risen Savior. He's in today. Know that He's living wherever words but say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just in time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, and I will never will despair, I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His preparing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. A little rough, but still truthful. Let us take some time and go to God in prayer. I know that there are a lot of prayer requests out there. And I know that even though usually if we're in the church, this is the time where we share out loud our prayer requests. And since we don't get to do that right now, I'm going to ask if you have a prayer request that you just think of it now. And God knows. God is in the midst of us. His Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit is with us. And knows those prayer requests and knows those praises. And we're just going to all lift them up to God right now. So please enter a time of prayer with me. God, we come today grateful and thankful and joyful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to live on this earth, to walk with us, to teach us how to live. And God, we thank you for your grace and forgiveness. We thank you for the power that rose Christ from the dead, that you have reconciled a relationship with humanity and with the world through his suffering and death and resurrection. Thank you, God, for putting everything back into order. And we are grateful for the open door of a relationship that we can enter in with you, that you are a God who wants to connect with us personally, that you are a God who wants to walk with us and be with us and participate in our lives. God, we ask for forgiveness for times when we have not lived up to who and what you want us to be. We have hurt people. We have not shined the light that you have given us in the way that you want us to. And we are sorry. We ask that you teach us to be more like you. God, we have prayer requests, we have needs, we have worries. And I take this time of silence now for requests, for those who may be watching, to lift that request up to you now. God, we know that you are faithful to hear us. And we pray for the people who are on our hearts. We pray for family members and those whom we love. Today, God, we ask a special blessing on the hospital workers, whether they be doctors, nurses, those who clean the room. God, wherever they are, we ask that you protect them. Give them strength. Give them hope. God, we pray for those who are the essential workers, those who are in the grocery stores, the truck drivers, those who are behind the counters of the gas stations. We pray for the farmers. God, we ask for those who are out of work right now, who are struggling just to make it through the day and wondering how they're going to get food on the table for their family. We ask that you provide for them. And God, we ask for healing for our world. And God, we come to you today, even though we are far apart. We join together and say the prayer that your Son, Jesus, has taught us to say. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We'd like to sing one last song. And this song is very simple. It has one word to it. Alleluia. Now, at the beginning of Lent season, we are told that during Lent, we bury the Alleluia. Alleluia is not spoken during Lent season, and it is not spoken until Easter morning, because the Alleluia has been buried. But today, we can say Alleluia. So this is a simple song with one word, and it goes like this. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Receive the benediction. May the God of creation go with you this week. May God the Son shine through you this week. And may the God the Holy Spirit be with you and go with you wherever you are and go. Blessings to you and happy Easter. Amen.